Diabetes Breakthrough.
Each and every show, we tee it up with the folks from Talk Radio News here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. This time around, Jeff Holtzman joins us. We're not going to hold it against him that he's a lousy Redskin fan, but that's okay. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Well, you know, real quick, it's funny. The Redskins and Cowboys actually issued a joint statement today because their grievance against the NFL got rejected. You know, this whole thing over them losing millions in cap space because they signed free agents and front-loaded their contracts a couple years ago.
Right.
So I thought that's pretty interesting. It's one of the, like, I think the only times I think anyone can ever recall the Redskins and Cowboys teaming on something.
Yeah, because otherwise, like, no.
Yeah, but like usual, they both lost. So.
They did. They lost millions for sure. But Jerry Jones, he's never one to lay down a sword. He's always willing to have a fight to the bitter end. And ultimately, he knew he was going to pay, but he's willing to do it anyway. So
yeah,
it's
absolutely
interesting that you say that. We'll see what the season brings, by the way. We'll have to make some kind of a bet off on the side. But of course, for everybody listening to America Tonight, you know I'm not a Cowboys fan. I am a rock, hard, solid Philadelphia Eagles fan.
Even worse.
Come on, Michael Vick wants a ring. He said so today. He's going to get one. We know it. Speaking of rings, it's not about rings, but it's about ringing their necks. This Bain Capital thing has so many legs to it. I can't believe it. Vice President Joe Biden today saying, hey, listen, Bain Capital is fair game. We're allowed to criticize Bain Capital. But the question is, sure, you can criticize them, but won't it blow up in their faces? So especially after Cory Booker, the mayor of Newark, with what he had to say about the Obama himself criticizing Bain, I think it kind of hurts him a little bit. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I think I agree, Kate. I think the general consensus in D.C. right now is that this whole attack on Bain Capital is sort of slowly backfiring on President Obama and his campaign team. And the reason because of that, well, one of the many reasons is because, as you can see, clearly Democrats don't have their message straight on the issue. Cory Booker, obviously, on Sunday, Meet the Press, you know, said that the attacks on Bain were nauseating to him. And particularly he was bothered by the attacks on the private equity industry, which is a legitimate industry. And that's something that Joe Biden alluded to today in his speech in New Hampshire. He said, look, these guys aren't bad guys, these guys that run private equity firms, but it's just that they're not looking out for the well-being of everybody. And that's what you have to do as president. But I think that even other Democrats have come forth and said that's not necessarily the main job of the president. And that's not something that should necessarily disqualify Mitt Romney from serving as president. I mean, it's just, I think what's happening is it's becoming slowly it's becoming harder and more difficult for Democrats to make the bare essence argument that being, making money in the private sector, and running a business is a bad thing and somehow disqualifies you. And I think that you're going to see Democrats slowly in the coming days and weeks maybe start to move on to something else or reformulate their attack on Romney and move to sort of make a different angle out of it, because it's not working right now. I haven't seen a whole lot of polling data, but you know, there was one poll that came out this evening, an NBC News Wall Street Journal poll, showing President Obama with, I believe, a 3-point lead on Mitt Romney. But in terms of Bain Capital, only 19% of those surveyed said they thought it was a problem for Romney. So I just don't think there's enough appetite in terms of people that associate Romney's time at Bain with being a negative thing.
Yeah, I agree with you. And the thing that's so interesting, and we just talked about that, mentioning Booker, is he's not getting any cover from Democrats. Some of the most influential Democrats on the Hill are not covering this. They're not just playing along. And that's big news, that they're not just, you know, towing the party line. They refuse to do that. So I think he's got to move off of it.
Well, yeah, and you know, look at a guy like Mark Warner, who's a Democrat from Virginia. He was interviewed this morning, and he had honestly nothing but good things to say about Romney in the context of his experience at Bain. I mean, Warner looked at him and said, you know, he's got a great record. He did a great job. He made a lot of money. And so I think that Democrats who are willing to attack Romney over that are frustrated, because clearly not everybody in their same party is on message about it, and nothing really hurts the campaign more than someone, you know, or multiple people going rogue. And in this case, that's sort of what's happening. So, you know, I don't know. Because it's interesting because President Obama yesterday in Chicago, you know, at his press conference, he said that that is going to be a major issue in the campaign going forward, referring to Romney's time in the private sector and, you know, the contrast between him and President Obama's economic policies. So I guess if they want to make that, you know, a long-lasting, far-reaching theme in this campaign, we'll have to see. You know, like I said, I think they're going to have to reformulate the message.
Yeah, absolutely. The other thing is Catholic groups going after the Obama folks on health care and, of course, the contraception angle of this, the fact that Catholic University, for example, is dumping the coverage because they refuse to cover contraception. And so now there's a big lawsuit Catholic group-wise, including Notre Dame. There's over 30 people involved in the lawsuit. And how is the White House taking that?
Well, the White House's response to this has been pretty interesting, and I think it's a pretty significant lawsuit because it's obvious that you've got Notre Dame, you've got a couple other schools, you've got the Archdiocese of New York.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a big deal, and they're suing the administration over what they say is this mandate within the healthcare law that religious organizations and religious, you know, schools, religious universities like Notre Dame, for instance, would have to provide for their employees and for their students contraception coverage. Now, the White House's response is that these religious employers are exempt. Jay Carney, the White House press secretary, at today's briefing said as much. He said that they don't have to, that they have religious liberty, you know, protection in the law, that they don't have to provide that coverage. But there have been other reports suggesting that that's not true, suggesting that if the provision in the healthcare law stands, that these organizations will have to indeed provide contraception, which is of course something at odds with their religious beliefs. So I think this suit is actually going to make its way at some level to, in the federal courts, and then there's going to be a decision. Of course, you know, while we're talking about this, you know, the Supreme Court is mere weeks from ruling on the constitutionality of the entire healthcare law, particularly in the individual mandate, which a lot of folks say, you know, is at the center of the law, and if you take it away, there is no law. So we'll know sometime in June what the Supreme Court thinks of the law in general. But at some point, there's going to be an argument and a case on this this lawsuit against over the contraception. And you know, the White House says that there are protections, but I'm not so sure.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's going to be interesting to see what happens there. You were handicapping what's going on with healthcare and the Supremes, because I know this was hot and heavy. We saw each other when I was in Washington, part of that Radio Row thing. What's the feeling now in D.C.? What are you reading and hearing about in the hallways and whatnot as far as what the Supreme Court might do with this?
Well, you know, it's tricky, and I'm not someone who is glued to the Supreme Court blogs day in and day out, but I mean, my position, I think the general consensus in D.C. is sort of the feeling that was felt right after the last day of oral arguments, which is that it's likely that the Supreme Court is going to strike down many parts of this law, but they might uphold the individual mandate. That's sort of the feeling, and it's going to be a 5-4 decision. I would be very surprised if it was anything but a 5-4 decision. There's some people who say it could be 6-3 with Justice Roberts siding with the majority.
Sure.
But I think that ultimately what's going to happen is they're going to find that there's severability, meaning that you can keep the individual mandate, but you can get rid of other. You can get rid of the individual mandate.
And do the other.
Other parts of the law, for instance, preventing employers from kicking kids off their parents' insurance.
Yeah, absolutely. Jeff Holtzman, we got to fly. Talk Radio News, thanks.
All right, okay, thanks.
For a long time, you've heard me talk about building your own food supply with eFoods Direct. As a listener, you know why you need to have a supply of the best storable food on the planet. Every day, we document the attempts to take control of our lives. But there's one thing we can all control, your greatest dependency, food. eFoods Direct products are made with only the best ingredients and none of the trash and contaminants like trans fats, GMOs, or MSG. This food is nutrient-dense and tastes great. It's simple to make, portable, and has a shelf life of up to 25 years. Now with eFoods Direct, you'll get the most affordable, best-tasting food you can buy. And the new products and pricing will blow you away. Compared to other food sources, including home-cooked meals, you can cut your food costs in half. You just can't afford to ignore this. Call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex for specials. Don't let this offer pass you by. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. More of the best for less guaranteed.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Would it save you time to get the best quality water filters and the best quality storable foods from one company? You bet it would, and now you can at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Big Berkey Water Filter products and great-tasting, long-lasting, storable, wise foods are both now available on one website, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Wise foods, ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches and come with a 25-year shelf life. Big Berkey Water Filters are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. Combine Berkey Water Filters with Wise Foods for an unbeatable preparedness combination. Get free shipping on every order over $50. And GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit Big, B-E-R-K-E-Y, waterfilters.com. Or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-B-E-R-K-E-Y. Or go to BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com.
They gazed in wide wonder at the joy they had found. The head nurse spoke up, said, "Leave this one alone." She could tell right away that I was bad to the bone. Bad to the bone. Bad to the bone. Bad. 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 Bad to the bone. Before I met you, I'll break a thousand more, baby. Before I am through, I wanna be yours, pretty baby. Yours and yours alone. I'm here to tell you, honey.
All right, we just scratched the surface here in this hour of America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Boy, the big story on the day, a couple of big things, but I think the biggest deal is what we're seeing in the skies. You know, we've been talking about these bird hits, and then they had the ghost plane. This was a couple of weeks ago. But even scarier to all of us, if we admit it, yes, flying is safer than walking across the street. But, oh, boy, I don't want to be on a plane where someone freaks out and they have an underwear bomb, or we think they have some other kind of a device on them. So here's what happened. A plane was diverted after one of the people on the plane claimed to have one of those booby traps in their body. I want you to first hear what it sounded like from the tower. Check this out.
Sorry, we do have an emergency aircraft inbound. Can I hold over else?
Wow.
77 Heavy, contact 010.7.
Yep, emergency landing, surgically implanted device. That's what the passenger said. Now, this was a U.S. Airways plane flying from Paris to North Carolina, which had to be diverted after the French woman handed the flight attendant a note saying that she had that device. What do you do with that? So they ended up landing in Maine for the emergency landing. And they say, you know, they just said it was a security issue. Homeland Security Committee Chairman, House Homeland Security Committee Chairman Pete King, he's always all over these things immediately. It's like he's wired for sound with all the airports or something. Or maybe it's someone on his staff, I don't know. Anyway, he said the woman who was arrested had no scars, and they believe that the passenger never posed a threat. She's just some kind of a kook, maybe. She was originally from Cameroon, and she had a no-check baggage. Here, there's a big clue. She was planning to stay in the United States for 10 days. So this comes, and this is what would make somebody nervous on that plane, especially imagine the flight attendant, because this comes just a couple of weeks after the CIA stopped that new underwear plot, and just weeks after more reports keep surfacing over these concerns that the terrorists are getting real clever from Yemen and elsewhere, that they've got incredible bomb experts and they could hide bombs inside their bodies. Here's Alexa Moore on what it was like to be in this plane that was diverted.
That he didn't mean to, like, not tell us what was going on, that he didn't want us to freak out, but that the lady was suspicious of having an explosive on her. They were all shocked, too. They didn't, like, scream or anything, but because I think she was already off the plane. But they, you know, jaws dropped. They were all like, wow, I can't believe this.
Yeah, there's 179 people on that plane. It happened around noon. And so there they were at Bangor International, serious security issue. And luckily they landed safely. Can you imagine? The hair on your arms, boy, it just stands up when you hear things like this, especially if you're somebody who travels. Because of the intelligence, I'll repeat it again, that we've seen on these surgically implanted bombs as a threat to travel, especially overseas travel, it seems. I mean, it could happen anywhere, but the fact that here we were talking about a plane flying from Paris to North Carolina and having to be diverted, that would be, I don't care what anyone says and what the pilot is trying to tell you, I would be a little, I'd be a little freaked out sitting there. I'd be working that cell phone. I'd be hoping that I didn't have all my batteries go down and not have any bars, because that would be my luck. I got no bars. I'm up in the air. I would just, that's what I would do. You start making the calls. And I think some of the people on the plane were trying to do that. So the question becomes is, you know, how serious is this threat? Was she just, you know, out of her mind, nuts? We'll see what that proves to be. It doesn't look that way because there wasn't any scars or anything that showed evidence that she had something surgically implanted. But imagine you're on that flight from Paris, you're getting to the United States, you're ready to take that breath. Whew, home. Boy, Paris was great, but boy, it's good to be on U.S. soil. And Bangor is almost 1,000 miles from Charlotte, where they were supposed to land. And, you know, somebody sent me a text immediately, which is now our form of communication, saying you better flip on the tube, you better pay attention to what's going on, because there's something going on with the plane. And the way it was described to me, I thought that something had definitely happened, that a plane had blown up. So luckily, that's not the case. But pretty scary that it happened on the heels of all those other threats. And it does, I hate to say it, because I'm not wishing this, but it does make you wonder. We have dodged so many bullet bombs, you know, where things that could have happened didn't happen on planes, because planes still seem to be the primary target. I always figured bridges and tunnels, whether you were on the West Coast with Golden Gate or New York with the many bridges that separate New Jersey from New York, for example, even with this, as dogged as you can be about watching and looking for things, I mean, we just all know we have open borders. We have an open way of life. Thank goodness this is what we embrace in the United States. But it is a little scary, I gotta say. All right, speaking of scary, you hate to hear headlines like this one. The U.S. is headed for a fiscal cliff. A fiscal cliff? What does that mean, fiscal cliff? The CBO reported some doom and gloom, saying if the Bush-era tax cuts expire, look out. There's going to be lots of doom in that gloom, and it'll throw the economy into a wicked, wild recession. So we got to pay attention. Yep. The Congressional Budget Office, which supposedly has no sway either way, yeah, right, says the economy would shrink by 1.3% in the first half of next year if the government is allowed to fall off of what they're calling the fiscal cliff on January 1st. And that higher tax rates and more than $100 billion in automatic cuts to the Pentagon and some other domestic agencies are part of that mix are kept in place. So what does that mean? It means, the CBS says, that it would wring hundreds of billions of dollars from the budget deficit, and it would represent an additional drag on an already weak economy, on the expansion of that, that it, you cannot do this. So they're into this saying, you do this, you're off the cliff. So we just want to go on record to say, this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen if you don't do something about those cuts. And how are we going to rebound after that? Now, the interesting thing is, so you say, okay, they weren't there before. Now they were put back in. There was the Band-Aid that was smashed on top of that. And it's not, at this point, not expiring, but it will certainly expire unless something's done. So now you got this contraction, let's say, in the first half of 2013 because of the tax cuts go away. So those tax breaks aren't there. I'll call it that, right? They're done in the beginning of the year. Then they're saying, the CBO is saying, this would be a terrible recession. Then they're saying that the economy would rebound at a 2.3% growth rate in the second half of the year. So we are screwed and tattooed. Woohoo! Happy New Year, 2013, for a bunch of months in the beginning of the year. Then when we hit the second half of the year, maybe by June, things will start to turn around. That's not good. That's not good. The first 6 months. And see, this is all part of the problem of passing the buck, of passing these problems down the line. Last summer, we dealt with this with the debt and the budget agreements, and that was almost $1 trillion in cuts to a lot of agencies' budgets over the next decade. And then the automatic cuts, we already know that we won't even go there with everything with the Pentagon, another trillion. So pretty much what do? Take your poison in the beginning of the year, hope it's going to, you know, rebound. I'm sorry, a fiscal cliff? I like what Orrin Hatch said, the senator from Utah, who said you can call it tax-mageddon, whatever, it's going to be a disaster for the middle class. Start lining up for those lottery tickets. I'm telling you, somebody has to win. Stephen Showhead on the flip side.
Can Heart and Body Extract help with other ailments besides heart conditions, high blood pressure, clogged arteries, or unbalanced cholesterol? It did for Karen.
I've been using Heart and Body Extract for approximately 2 weeks. I've had an earwax buildup problem for many years, with over-the-counter stuff not working at all. I had very poor hearing due to this earwax buildup. Well, after 2 weeks of taking Heart and Body Extract, my earwax buildup almost completely cleared up. Could this be the effect of better body circulation?
Heart and Body Extract is an effective 100% organic nutritional supplement specially formulated to allow your body to heal itself.
My hearing is almost completely back to normal. I'm amazed.
Order by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for long and healthy life.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hey, meat eaters! The freeze-dried guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dried guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The freeze-dry guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes six number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
And now another CentOS Game Changer with sports broadcaster Aaron Andrews.
I'm standing outside a popular Gainesville burger joint. They've got fresh, juicy patties and golden brown onion rings. But they've had unhappy fans until recently. So, ma'am, just what caused the turnaround?
Well, we love their burgers, but until now, their bathrooms were, how should I put it? Ew.
They were dirty, huh?
Oh, yeah. We stopped coming here. Then we saw the CentOS truck and gave it another try.
Yep. They called CentOS for a game changer to deep clean these restrooms and to stock supplies like hand soap and paper towels. Was CentOS the winning play for you?
Yep. They won us back.
And now at this restaurant, every wall and every stall shines. For more, let's go back up to the booth.
Thanks, Aaron. Clean restroom supplies are one of many expert services CentOS can tackle for your business. Don't lose business to dirty restrooms. Call 1-800-CINTAS6 or visit CentOS.com/radio and tell them to bring in the team with the white truck.
I heat up, I can't cool down. Got me spinning round and round, round and round and round.
Listen, I was wondering, maybe later, when you're finished.
You're wearing lipstick. You weren't wearing lipstick before.
I refreshed it a bit.
Sorry, you were saying?
I was wondering if you'd like to have coffee.
Black, two sugars, please. I'll be upstairs.
Okay.
That was a little clip of Sherlock Holmes on the BBC. A lot of people are starting to buzz about it. What is it about Sherlock Holmes? Stephen Shohat, our man in Hollywood, and the author of Hollywood Story, short entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movies, joins us now. Hey, Stephen, what is it about Sherlock Holmes?
Well, I mean, it's a character that's 125 years old, and when Arthur Conan Doyle wrote the stories, they got...
I got a thing to do, song now!
Whoops, I think we lost Stephen there for a second. We'll get him back. Sherlock Holmes, somebody solve the mystery of what happened to Mr. Shohat. Boy, of all the times that he's joined us from the West Coast, too, we've never had that problem. So I am blaming it on playing the BBC clip. But we were talking about Sherlock Holmes, and he mentioned, of course, there about how popular the story is. And maybe that's what the deal is with the Rage movie-wise or on the small screen. The fact that there are certain characters, that this is about the character, and then the writing, of course, and breathing life into the character of Sherlock Holmes. But definitely it's about the original story, no question. Hey, Stephen, you were talking about the power of Sherlock Holmes, how it just resonates with people.
Right. In fact, he, I mean, compared to other detectives like Hercule Poirot, for example, people have actually thought, at least some people, that he's real. I mean, he was based on largely on a real man, Dr. Joseph Bell, who taught Arthur Conan Doyle in medical school in Scotland. And even to this day, I mean, the 221B Baker Street, I think there's a hospital there. They get letters asking Sherlock Holmes to solve cases. So, I mean, it's just something that really resonates. I don't think most people feel that way, but I'll tell you, this new series, which advances Sherlock Holmes into the 21st century, it has really caught on. I mean, Benedict Cumberbatch's A Long Coat is being asked for by a lot of people in London. They want to get that coat. I mean, the book sales have gone up like 200%, according to the publishers. I mean, I mean, the Robert Downey Jr. Movie was a fine effort, but that really, I don't think, even though they claim that they both studied Doyle, Robert Downey Jr. and Jude Law, I don't think that really had the reaction, the positive reaction amongst the old-time Sherlock Holmes fans that this series is getting.
Yeah, and so the stars you mentioned, Benedict Cumberbatch, but also the other lead actors, Martin Freeman. I don't know much about him.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is a big time for both of them. Martin Freeman got hired to be in The Hobbit, the Peter Jackson movie. He's playing Bilbo Baggins, the main character in The Hobbit. So he's getting tremendous stardom, and he's a family man. And you contrast that with Benedict Cumberbatch, who's single at the moment. And the reason that makes a difference is because Freeman doesn't want to uproot and move to Hollywood, but Benedict Cumberbatch, at least for the moment, has. And he was just recently contacted by J.J. Abrams to do an audition. It was at Christmas time. J.J. Abrams asked him to film the audition. He couldn't find anybody to do it. So finally, kind of upset, he did the audition in his kitchen or somebody's kitchen with an iPhone. And I guess his angst went over really well because he's been hired to be in the next Star Trek movie, and the strong rumors, even though they're not being confirmed by J.J. Abrams yet, is that Benedict Cumberbatch is going to play Khan in the next Star Trek movie.
Oh, so, very so cool.
Yeah. So that obviously is going to bring him into huge international, or potentially anyway, I guess there's no guarantees, but huge international stardom. So both of them, have to find time to fit in this series that they're doing. And this series, I mean, even though it's only three episodes each season, is a tremendous amount of work. They're an hour and a half. Each one is like a movie. And obviously, anybody who plays Sherlock Holmes has a tremendous job with an amazing amount of dialogue to learn. And it's difficult not to fumble those lines. And Cumberbatch is doing an outstanding job. I mean, I think that's one reason why he's being propelled into such notice here.
Yeah, and you talk about Doyle, and then the question is, in modern times, are they true to Doyle in making it, this modern series?
Well, most people are loving this series, but there are some controversies. I mean, Irene Adler, the character in the Doyle stories who was referred to as the woman, the one who outwitted Sherlock Holmes, she only appeared once, but she seemed to be the one Sherlock Holmes had great affection for, is presented as a dominatrix. And that didn't go over well with a lot of the fans who weren't expecting to see that sort of element on a PBS-style show. Moriarty is played by an actor named Andrew Scott, and he decided not to do any research personally on the character of Moriarty, who's usually presented as older and sort of distinguished, but malevolent, and he's a young guy playing him, and he really went psycho on the screen. And that, I mean, that is rubbing certain fans the wrong way. That a lot of people thought his performance was over the top and campy. In fact, he said that he made the mistake of going on the internet once and reading forums, and it was something that he really couldn't take, the negative reaction that he got from some people. But overall, I think that most people are really enjoying it, and it has a great deal of suspense because, I mean, it's sort of like, I it's obviously more distinguished than Star Trek, but it's sort of like that, and where you have the character in the same situation, but the results might be a little bit different. And I think the producers, in a way, are trying to top Conan Doyle, take the initial elements of the stories and trying to add new twist on them. So no, there was the show earlier, the Jeremy Brett series, which really stuck to Doyle. And of course, they took place in Victorian times. But this series is willing to go off in different directions. You know, they might do anything. I mean, you never know. Sherlock Holmes might get married. I mean, there's all sorts of possibilities. They're leaving it open-ended. They don't want the audience to be able to predict it. In fact, the last episode, the way it's finished, it was pretty much a cliffhanger, and not to give it away, but a lot of people are discussing how did Sherlock pull that off.
Yeah, don't give it away.
Because now you're revealed for next year.
Oh, because you have us so interested in this. You know, 75 actors have played Sherlock Holmes by my count. That's crazy. You're so right. It's hard to fill the shoes, I guess is what we're saying, of Sherlock Holmes, of some of the best actors.
Right. He is the number one most prolific character ever on the big screen and the small screen. He's been played so many times. And you have different interpretations of ways that people can present him. But like, for example, there was a movie with Michael Caine and Ben Kingsley called Without a Clue, where in that version, Dr. Watson was actually the great detective, and he was embarrassed to admit it might hurt his medical practice, and so he hired an actor to pretend he's this detective named Sherlock Holmes, you know, a bumbling, lecherous actor played by Michael Caine. So that's one version. I mean, obviously, the Robert Downey version sort of got into superhero and supernatural territory. There was one with Christopher Plummer and James Mason called Murder by Decree, where they went, they tried to figure out Jack the Ripper and solved that case. Of course, the most famous for many years was the Basil Rathbone movies, which he made with Nigel Bruce. And what was interesting about those movies were they started off in Victorian times, but then during World War II, they made them modern, and they had Sherlock Holmes fighting Nazis and things like that. So obviously, it's something that can go in many, many different creative directions. As a matter of fact, CBS right now is going to have a new show called Elementary with a female Dr. Watson, a new version of Sherlock Holmes. So it's definitely something that captures the imagination. But I think this show, the Sherlock on the BBC, like I said earlier, is really resonating with the old-time fans of Doyle, who really want to see this because it's sort of combining being somewhat true to the originals, but at the same time having suspense where they might go in a different direction. And I think this may be arguably the most unique version they've ever done.
Yeah, I can't wait. Cannot wait to see it. You have me so excited about it. Stephen Shohat, author of Hollywood Stories, Short Entertaining Anecdotes About the Stars and Legends of the Movies. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks so much.
Oh, you got it, Kate.
All right, coming up, everyone, by the way, talking about Sherlock Holmes, you can win a copy of The Last Sherlock Holmes with Robert Downey Jr. If you can tell me, and you're the first person in, five people who have played Sherlock Holmes. Now, the way to do that is you have to go and get press 4 on the website and say America Tonight poll. Tell us your five, and whoever gets in there first, you win a copy of that movie. Hang with us.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Love gardening but don't love seeing your hard work destroyed by wildlife? Then use the number one most effective deer and rabbit repellent you can buy, PlantSkid. PlantSkid repellent protects gardens, trees, and landscaping by emitting an odor that browsing animals associate with predators. So animals avoid plants before they nibble, not after. PlantSkid is made in the U.S. from non-toxic, 100% organic, environment, and pet-friendly ingredients. Other repellents wash off in the rain. Not PlantSkid. It's guaranteed to outlast all other repellents. PlantSkid was the first animal repellent to be OMRI listed organic and now comes in liquid spray, powder concentrate, or easy-to-use granular. Just sprinkle around your garden. For proven protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents, use PlantSkid. Member tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Find a dealer near you at PlantSkid.com. That's PlantSkyDD.com. Ask about our new bull repellent when you call 800-252-6051. That's 800-252-6051. PlantSkid. Proven plant protection. Guaranteed or your money back.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeCig.com. And LeCig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeCig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
The famous detective. 211 films, did you know that, have been made about Sherlock Holmes. And this BBC edition, Stephen's right, a lot of people are starting to tune in the United States and elsewhere to the offerings of Martin and Benedict, the two lead actors in this one. And you already heard him talk about Benedict Cumberbatch and what was happening with him and the whole Star Trek thing and whatnot. So send me your top five Sherlock Holmes guys through actors who played Sherlock Holmes by going to the website americatonight.net, click on press four, get press four. When you have it, then you say America Tonight poll, tell me your five. And if it's the same five that I'm thinking of, you win a copy. In fact, I'll give you two movies. The two Robert Downey Jr. Sherlock Holmes offerings, you'll get a copy of those. But the offer only stands through this show. Because you already can look him up anyway. But I think it would get kind of crazy. I was, before we were talking about Sherlock Holmes, I'll tell you a couple. Did you know that Charlton Heston played Sherlock Holmes in 1991? A little bit of miscasting there. I can't. The Heston, Sherlock Holmes, no. The other person I thought that was miscast, to me anyway, as Sherlock Holmes, was Rupert Everett, who did it in 2004. You might have a different take on that, however. I think a lot of people would go old school and go with Rathbone or, you know, maybe Jeremy Brett. That would be 80s, mid-80s if you were going in that direction. So I've given you a couple of them, but not all of them. We're talking about Doyle, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's famous detective, of course, and that's Sherlock Holmes and all of the offerings that there are as far as Sherlock Holmes is concerned. I always do the DVDs every week because Tuesday's DVD day, so I want to make sure that we clean that up before we head for the exits after we're talking movies here. And there's a movie out called This Means War. Chris Pine is in it. Reese Witherspoon is in it as well, and it's two CIA guys who are fighting over the hot woman. They both fall for the same girl. It's okay. I saw it with my mother when I was back east because she likes those kind of things, and she liked it. It didn't. I don't think it did as well at the box office as they thought. $54.5 million. There is another movie out that you can rent for a buck or two at Redbox. In my neighborhood, I swear people line up for Redbox because it's so cheap. It's called The Woman in Black, and this is about a lawyer who has to travel to some remote village and sort out some deceased client's papers, working alone, isolated house, tragic secrets, comes to figure out that there's this mysterious woman dressed only in black, has to uncover the identity of the woman in black. A little scary. $54.3 million. So some people were interested in this one. Here's a movie that did not do great at the box office either and cost a fortune to make. And George Lucas was involved with this because nobody else would take on the project. So he footed the bill for it. It's called Red Tails. And it's the story of the Tuskegee Airmen, the first African-American pilots to fly in a combat squadron mission during World War II. A lot of famous actors are in this movie, but it made $49.8 million at the box office. And then just one last one I'll tell you about, just quickly, Perfect Sense. And this is a movie about what it means to be in love and to be loved in turbulent times. I think we're going to skip that one. That's weak. That's the weak offering. If you wanted to be kind to your girlfriend, your wife, your future wife, someone that you met on Match.com, probably This Means War would be the thing to rent. I'm just saying, that's probably the direction that you want to go in. I think you should also consider doing something, for goodness sake, to protect your computer. I'm not lecturing. I'm just being realistic based on something that I saw today. And I think this has been reported pretty heavily over the past year. I mean, you know, I'm going to say before this year, even we know that this is the new frontier. Cyber problems, cyber jihad. That's the thought. Besides, I mentioned bridges and tunnels and everything. What would happen is if you just cut into our computers, we're already being hacked into all over the place. But Al-Qaeda is looking at cyber warfare against the U.S. There was an Al-Qaeda operative that called for electronic jihad against the United States, and it compares how vulnerable and how vital American computer networks are to what some of the flaws were in aviation security before the 9/11 attacks. So saying, hey, listen, these people are dopey. They don't get it. This is what we can do. This is where we can go. Let's launch some cyber attacks against the U.S. And that's what the video says. I saw the video. You can see the video. I'm sure it's all over the place. And the video calls for a covert Mahajan to launch these attacks in government critical infrastructure areas, the electric grid. The FBI picked this up last year. It was released today by the Senate Committee on Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs. That's why it gets a little bit of buzz. And they have said that, look, this is pretty clear evidence that there are other terror groups that want to attack the cyber systems of our infrastructure. Duh. We knew this. So I hope they're doing everything to protect our systems the best they can. But it is very worrisome because of how critical this is. Think in your own life. Close your eyes for a second. Think in your own life. I'm serious about what happens if everything is cut off. What happens? What would you do? How do you get to things? Even banking. How do you get to banking? You know how everybody does online banking? That's risky. Unless you're working at a company that has incredible security network. We're all pretty risky there. And so this threat of the attack is pretty real. And they're closing the gap of making it happen. And they're trying to stage some serious cyber attacks. And they're getting the capabilities. I mean, think about it. If you're terrorists, what do you have? You've got tons of capital, right? You're getting backing. And you can certainly get the best criminal hackers that money can buy because they're not going to care about it. And cyberspace is very, very big. It's a weapon. It's an unbelievable weapon that can pop up and bite us at any time. You know, the Homeland Security Committee says the Department of Homeland Security received about 50,000 reports of cyber intrusions or attempted intrusions since October. So what does that mean? Do you say, well, 50,000, is that a lot? How do we compare it? It's an increase of 10,000 reports over the same period from the last year. I think this is very real, but I don't believe this is so shocking because we knew that this is, of course, where would we be vulnerable? What would be the next place that you would try to attack? And the answer is the systems, the critical systems, the information, the damage you could do with the information, but just even shutting down major systems, especially within the government. The government has had a lot of problems with this. And they've also had problems with the laissez-faire attitude of people who leave sensitive information in their car, in their computer. I mean, you got to be kidding me with that. So now you have a video that calls for electronic jihad. I'd say in the virtual world of the big bad terrorists that we should take this pretty seriously because of what's probably been going on behind the scenes. It is a very real possibility. They're closing that gap, and they want to make those attacks become realistic, really happen. How easy is that compared to putting it on the line in a plane or somewhere else? Because you could do it from afar. We have already seen that with people who have hacked into systems, so be very, very careful with your information. Not that you don't already know that, but be even more vigilant. Any thoughts on the show, send them to me, americatonight.net.
Hey, if you don't like America, then you can get out.
You will respect my authority.
Why wouldn't I want to be here? This is fantastic. This is great.